Earlier this month, the Michigan Land Use Institute floated the idea of a new passenger train service from Ann Arbor to Traverse City. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins me now for more. And Melissa, how exactly does one get a train line anyway?
Well, it's a long journey with many stops, let's put it that way. But one of the biggest components is getting the communities that are along the route excited about it. And I talked to the Michigan Land Use Institute's James Brookbauer about the process of trying to start this new train service between Southeast and Northwest Michigan.
Last week, we launched a project that will explore what it would take to run passenger trains between Traverse City and Ann Arbor. And we're looking at that line specifically for a number of reasons. One, the tracks are still there. They're still in pretty good shape. About 90% of them are already ready for passenger service. There are just a couple key areas that need some additional investment if we want to run passenger trains on them. And the state still owns the tracks and the right-of-way, which is pretty significant because one of the largest costs in a transportation project is putting in the tracks and purchasing the land. Well, in this case, the state of Michigan already owns the land and the tracks, and so that reduces a lot of the costs that are associated with a major project like this. The next technical step that needs to happen for something like this is a feasibility study. So MDOT, the Michigan Department of Transportation, has it in its statewide rail plan to conduct a preliminary feasibility study on passenger service to Northern Michigan. And that would answer a lot of questions like, how much would this cost? How could it be operated? What kind of structure would be needed? Whether, would it be a nonprofit, a for-profit? It would look at who would potentially ride it. It would look at, how much you could potentially charge and where some stops could go. So that would be the first, real technical analysis on could this be feasible?
You said the rail already exists. What did it used to be before you were looking at it for this particular Ann Arbor to Traverse City line?
It was in passenger service up until, maybe the 60s. Right now it's being used for freight shipping, and we're shipping everything from, wood products to plastic products to sand in and out of Northern Michigan to other places all around the country. So right now, the tracks are leased by a company called Great Lakes Central, and they're a freight railroad company that's shipping things in and out of Northern Michigan to other places around the country.
One of the things I've heard people who ride, for instance, Amtrak say is they really like the train experience a lot, except every once in a while the train will get stopped for an hour or something because it shares tracks with a freight company, and they have to, whatever the train equivalent is, of pull over so that a freight train can go by. Would you have the same problem if this new line were to go into effect?
Well, it's a little bit different between Detroit and Chicago because there is so much freight traffic between, those two major metropolitan areas, and those lines connect into, those are two, it's a major shipping corridor between, everything from Toronto to St. Louis, but Detroit and Chicago are right in between that major shipping corridor. Up from Northern Michigan, there's some freight traffic, but it's not enough where it would really cause, at this point, we think, significant, delays in any passenger service, just because the passenger service wouldn't be as frequent as this in between Detroit and Chicago, and the freight traffic just isn't enough to really hamper that.
So basically, you'd be able to just schedule around it?
The two would be able to work together, I think, a little bit more, because there just wouldn't be a significant amount of traffic in either case, freight or passenger.
So now, this is not high-speed rail, right? This is just regular rail, right?
That's correct. So about 65% of the tracks right now are in good enough condition where trains can travel about 59 miles per hour. So that would be the top speed for most of the tracks, and we hope to get the rest of them up to that speed as well.
So Ann Arbor to Traverse City would take about how long, are we thinking?
Well, that's what that study would have to look at, because it depends on how many times you want the train to stop. And we really need to look, you know, do a thorough analysis on what the track speeds are for each section of tracks in order to know that. But, you know, if we could get it down to 5 hours and the trains have internet and you could be doing other things on the train, that could be a pretty useful travel option for not just for vacationers, but for people who are living in a lot of these small towns between Traverse City and Ann Arbor and who want access to getting around the state, but also access to other major metro areas, because the line would connect into the Chicago-Detroit higher speed rail line and other train lines as well.
I'm asking this as a complete amateur in terms of knowing anything about trains, but so you've put this feasibility study into the hat of the MDOT folks. So do they decide, for instance, who would run the thing? Would it be the state? Would it be a consortium of, you know, different stakeholders? And furthermore, what if you folks said, we don't think we ought to run the train this way?
The Michigan Department of Transportation would most likely manage the feasibility study. The feasibility study would recommend different operating structures. So they would look at, you know, hey, you could run it as a for-profit and it could be run this way. You could create a nonprofit structure that would manage the whole operations, and this is how you could set that up. So the feasibility study will analyze all these different options and recommend one. I guess I would envision a likely scenario would be a some kind of nonprofit structure that where it's managed by an entity that shares the interests of the communities all on the line and could look at different funding sources that could come into that, but also raise money privately as well. So some kind of like public-private partnership. Michigan Department of Transportation would not take any responsibility over the operations there. They just own the tracks, and it's not really their responsibility to manage, you know, projects like this.
That's interesting, because so then they don't really have, for instance, the office of running train lines, for, you know, just as a really simple example. So then where do you find people who have the expertise to run a train line like that?
So we would look to examples all around the country. When we launched our event, we had someone speak from the M1 rail line in Detroit. And that's a unique situation because it is a nonprofit entity that is really responsible for getting that rail line up and running. And so we're looking at that nonprofit structure as something that could be applied to maybe a longer line. You know, Amtrak is a train operator. However, I don't know, you know, I think that could be evaluated, but I don't think that they're in a position to really expand any more routes. So that's why I think there could be some kind of similar structure similar to Amtrak, but it wouldn't be necessarily a government agency. It would be a nonprofit.
What kind of response have you gotten so far to the proposal?
That's another reason why we're looking into this, is because there's so much energy and enthusiasm around this idea. Back in 2011, when the state was conducting a statewide rail planning process, a lot of communities all over the state were asked, you know, what do you want to see with passenger rail in the future? And the number one priority that came out of that process was people wanted to see a train connection to Traverse City. In fact, more people attended the Traverse City meeting than anywhere else around the state. So, you know, we thought that was pretty significant. We saw the energy and enthusiasm. And actually, that's one of the reasons why the state did include this feasibility study within its state rail plan, because they saw that enthusiasm around it, not only from up here, but also from the Ann Arbor area and a lot of these towns in between. And we're getting a lot of positive feedback. We're getting a lot of, never had so many emails about a specific project as this over the past couple of weeks.
The first thing, of course, that popped into my head, being from downstate, was tourism, you know, going to Traverse City. But it crosses my mind that an awful lot of northern Michigan folks, especially, you know, you were talking about Alma and Mount Pleasant being on there, that higher education possibilities for students that wanted to be able to go home on weekends occasionally and that kind of thing, that could be a pretty big deal. What other kinds of things have you heard that people thought that service would improve?
There are economic benefits to these downtowns, and that's really a major interest of ours at the Michigan Land Use Institute. I mean, the travel option is one thing, but we really think that this could boost the downtowns. A Grand Valley State study from 2009 showed that Michigan communities that had rail service, even if it was just once-a-day service, had anywhere from about $7 to $45 million in extra economic benefits to their downtowns every year. You know, it would be another option for young people, retirees who are starting to once again move back into the city and live within some of these downtowns. It would help them be able to just walk to a train station, be able to jump on a train and really have access to another city. Former Ann Arbor Mayor John Heftcha said at the event last week that, you know, train service really puts two communities next door to each other. Because you walk out of wherever you live, if you live downtown, jump on the train, and you're able to access easily and with comfort just another downtown. So a lot of those people, if they can access the train stations, which are usually downtown, then they can, you know, have access to another city.
Jim Bruckbauer, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your shedding some light on this, and best of luck.
All right, thank you.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.